on 97.5 and 102.5 FM, DAB and online at pulse1.co.uk. It's all about rugby. This is the Robbie Hunter Pool Show on Pulse 1.
Kia ora and g'day, rugby league fans, and welcome to the RHP Show. We have a busy studio tonight. Leon Price is in the house.
Good evening, everybody.
Aaron Bell is in the house.
Evening.
And Huddersfield Giants must have won this weekend because Luke Robinson is in the house.
Yeah, good evening, Robert.
Now, as you can hear, we've got a busy studio this evening. Loads to cover and plenty of opinion. So let's get straight into it.
The Robbie Hunter Pool Show. News and views.
Now, before we kick off, I just want to mention the sad, sad news about Jennifer Davey, Ken Davey's wife, sadly passing last week. She was for me, she was the heart and soul of the Giants. She had a smile that absolutely lit up the room. She always had time for you. Just a golden, golden woman. Robbo, can you just share with us the tempo of the club? It must have hit the club really hard. You know, how are things at Huddersfield?
Yeah, it did hit the club very hard. Obviously, Jennifer, it really was the heart and soul of Huddersfield. She was, you know, everyone calls Ken David Mr. Huddersfield. She was Mrs. Huddersfield. You know, I think if anybody who knows Ken or knows anything about the club knows that it was Jennifer that got Ken involved in the club. Mm-hmm. She's the Huddersfield girl, the diehard fan that got him interested in rugby originally.
She grew up on the terraces watching Firetown, didn't she?
Yeah, she did.
At the old stadium.
Yeah, it's Huddersfield girl. And you know what? She were an integral part of the club, really. You know, whenever anything were going on, she were always, it were never just Ken, it were always Ken and Jennifer. You know, so she played an integral part, really, getting not only him involved, but then everything else that went on in there. So I think for everybody involved, really, from the players, the coaching staff, the fans, and just everyone involved in the club, it was heartbreaking to hear, really, that, you know, she passed suddenly. And I think that's what probably made it even more devastating, because she had a really healthy glow, and like you said before, she was just a lovely woman with a great smile and a really infectious personality, and she looked really healthy and in good spirits. Mm-hmm. It was a bit of a shock, to say the least.
Yeah, it definitely blindsided everyone. So we just wanted to share on behalf of the show and the station our condolences with Ken and his family. Our thoughts are with you at this time. So things don't get easier, you know, but it's good that the rugby league community can come together.
Yeah, of course, you know, and I think that's one good thing about rugby league. You know, we speak about it as being tribal, but in times of need, everybody pulls together and everybody, you know, helps each other out. And the rugby league community, not only, like you say, from Huddersfield, but from every fan base, has been pretty, really kind, really, with the words and the message that they've been, you know, sending support towards Ken. As our thoughts are with Ken as well.
And then I think it was on the Friday night you guys shaped up against the Leeds Rhinos and are really coming together. And I think you dedicated the win to Jennifer after the game.
Yeah, you know, we spoke about that during the week. Obviously, the lads were all affected by it, and obviously the CEO came in and let us all know about the situation. And, you know, from a coaching perspective, you know, we spoke to the players and the players spoke to us. It'd be nice, really, if we put a performance together, not only, obviously, for us, for the club, but, you know, just for Jennifer and Ken and the Davey family. So it were great that we could put a performance, although it wasn't the greatest performance in the world, it were in good spirit, really, the fact that we tried ridiculously hard for each other and we put a lot of effort in and, you know, a lot of endeavour involved, and to get that win. And I think Ruffy were pretty good, and Seb and everybody else that spoke on Sky after, and, you know, dedicated it to Jennifer.
Yeah, wonderful, wonderful. And like I said before, our thoughts are with you and your family at this time, Ken. Isn't it interesting, though, that you guys can put together a performance? You really haven't been able to pull all that talent together. But it does show that the Giants do have a lot of strike and weaponry, and you really are a bogey team for the Rhinos, aren't you?
Yeah, we are a bogey team for the Rhinos. I think over the past sort of 4 years, we've pretty much had the money over them, really, apart from that last-ditch try that Ryan Holt scored in 2015,
that was a break of
my second-to-last game, which, unfortunately, my son watches rugby every morning before I go to school, and he insists on playing that game. I'm like, can't we watch one where Daddy wins? And it's not heartbreaking. But no, we know, we've been a bit of a bogey side to Leeds, but I'm not going to lie, we've looked pretty blunt in attack in phases this year. You know, we've not had much dynamism to us attack. We haven't been very creative on And you know what? We wasn't that creative, but like I said before, we showed a lot of endeavour, we showed a lot of guts, a lot of will, and you know, rugby league, sometimes that's all you need. You know,
I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. You have to, sometimes you've got to play a game of attrition. You've got to play a game where you find the energy from somewhere, and it doesn't have to be pretty. I can tell you this, 100%. I will play in a game and give them any time of that. Let me play badly and win the game over any time playing well and losing.
Oh, like Wesley Snipes of White Men Can't Jump, isn't it? We've got a couple of young lads in my Huddersfield team that I'm calling Wesley at the moment, because I said you'd rather look good and lose than look bad and win. And what you have to understand in professional sport, boys, it's not about that.
It's about winning.
It's about winning, and that is it. When it comes down to it, especially in the way that the Super League format is at the moment, it is all about winning.
That's right.
That's right.
21 years ago, Challenge Cup final, 1996, I pretty much got every accolade in the game that you can get in that Challenge Cup game. Tell you what, I'll swap it for a winner's medal. Take it all away, I'll swap it for a winner's medal, because I still carry this bag of bricks that gets heavier and heavier with every single day, because we did not win that game.
Yeah, it just tarnishes it, doesn't it?
It does.
Obviously, you know, it's 17 blokes all doing their best in their business, and you know, sometimes you walk off the field, if you know all you can do is your best and you've done your best, it's a nice feeling inside, mm-hmm. but you need to win as well.
You want to do your best and leave it all on the field, but actually walk away with winning pay as well.
I've won quite a few trophies, but of all the things that I've won, there's only one thick game that sticks in my mind, and that's losing the grand final in 1999.
The finger of God.
Yeah, when we got, you know. So funnily enough, out of all the things that I've won, the first thing that always sticks in my mind, I carry with me day in, day out, is losing
that
grand final.
That's weird, isn't it? Because I'm the same, 96 Challenge Cup final. That I cannot put that down.
No, I can't put
that down.
That's
the thing
down.
That haunts me. It wakes me up still.
Do you not think, though, as professional sportsmen, I'm the same as you. I said when I retired, my wife said, I think about all the good things. I still remember all the bad stuff, my jumping ball. And I don't know if that's what drives you as a professional sportsman.
Redemption.
It's the fear of failure.
I think it plays a big part of it.
I think the fear of failure drove me throughout my whole career.
There's games where you win. You know, like the 2003 Challenge Cup final where we beat Leeds, the Murrayfield final where we beat Leeds, both of those, I didn't feel euphoria. I felt relief.
It's always relief, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, thank God.
It'd probably be a bit more euphoria if you won in like a last minute of the game, or, you know, it's a really close battle and you win in last seconds by a drop goal. That's probably more euphoric. Mm. You go crazy because of the emotion of the time, but I agree with you. When you lose, you're below the earth. You're so down, you just can't get over it. And when you win, you're just relieved.
I wonder how Gareth O'Brien...
Relieved not have to carry that stress around with for the rest of your life.
Well, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I've won a grand final and I've lost them. The feeling of losing them far outweighs the excitement of winning them.
Well, that's right. The euphoria of success does not compare to the negative, the despair. And I think that's a good word, despair, that you feel when you lose.
I think that's what drives you as a professional sportsman. I think that's what makes players different to the average Joe Bloggs who plays amateurs, the fact that you can't fail, you hate failing.
Mm, mm. But because you fail, you experience that fear, it's what makes you better, what sharpens the sword. I mean, you do hear that from a lot of athletes. They talk about, I am successful because I've been unsuccessful. I mean, you see that step from Michael Jordan,
yes.
The amount of shots that he's missed and the games that he's lost.
Yeah.
And that's why he was the athlete that he is.
Yeah, like I say, we learn from his mistakes. I know, speaking from my point of view, I think we played Leeds in a grand final probably about four times for Saints. We lost every one of them. And that kills me to this day. You can imagine on so many levels. But I think for us, as like
I'm the opposite. Mine was six St. Helens finals.
Six.
Six.
I just think, like, for us as a club at the time at Saints, I personally think we were one of the best teams that's played in Super League 2006, where we won everything. I think for us to kind of get that dynasty that we were looking for, we had to win at least one to another two grand finals after that. Mm-hmm. We beat Hull in 2006. And not being able to do that even to this day is still frustrating, because we're now good we are during the season. Usually we finish first. We could beat them during the season.
Could you argue it's different for like Longy and Kieran, and then because they had a level of success before you arrived?
No. Not really, no. I think because you really want to put your marker down on in history, don't you? I mean, you can do it for a one-off season where you win the treble or the quad, you know, win all four.
Yeah.
But I think over the history of Super League, probably Leeds are going to be remembered as the dominant team, the dominant force of that era. Like we're going to what of the early 80s and 90s. Leeds are going to be remembered really as the champion club in the Super League era.
Well, 8 grand final wins, was it?
9, I think, is it?
Is it 8 or 9?
It's a lot.
Crazy. I mean, to be honest, JP's been there for all of them, and he's got his Bradford ones as well.
Yes. Yeah, so,
has he got that many fingers?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
That many rings.
So, and being a Bradford lad as well, you can imagine what that does to me.
Yeah, I can only imagine. Actually, I don't need to imagine because you tell us. All right, so we're going to take a break now. When we come back, when I start talking rugby league, we'll have a look at all the sport's hottest topics. So stick with us right here on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
The opinions that matter from the world of rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show. Super League, Championship, NRL, Challenge Cup, whatever the story, we've got it covered. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
All right, welcome back to the RHP Show. We've got a busy studio tonight. We've got Leon Price in the house, Luke Robinson in the house, because Huddersfield won last weekend, that is. And we also have the power, Aaron Bauer, in the house. And Aaron, you've got some breaking news for us. I think it's an article that you've written. The front runner, I'm guessing, or actually you're stating that it's a signed, sealed and delivered deal. Justin Holbrook will be the new coach of St. Helens. Yeah. I've never heard of the bloke. Who is he?
Yeah, I've never heard of him until I did a bit of research into him. He's Trent Robinson's assistant, goes to coach Catalani's assistant at Sydney Roosters.
Not bad pedigree.
At the minute, worked for Canterbury and Parramatta in the NRL, so he's obviously got a bit of pedigree in that regard. His background's in coaching junior players. He coaches the junior Kangaroos at the minute, which is, I think, Aussie's under 20 side, I think, or under
the
20. The junior Kangaroos, yeah, but they've got a game this weekend against the junior Kiwis, your boys.
Go to the Kiwis!
So, not sure when he's going to be coming yet, but yeah, he's the guy that Saints have decided is going to succeed Leon's mate, Kieran Cunningham, as coach.
Well, there we go, Leon. Actually, in talking about that, I actually expected a bigger name. If that is signed on, like you're saying, and I'm not suggesting you would lie or even be a part of rumour mongering, Aaron. So you're normally pretty much on the mark with any of your stories that you run with. But I thought a good one would have been David Fairley, and I know that he was ruled out this weekend. I remember playing against David Fairley when he was at Saints. Guy had the biggest head on the planet. Leon, how I just wanted to quickly ask this before we talk about Justin Holbrook. How it was David Fairley felt when you joined St. Helens?
He wasn't there. He wasn't there, Robbie.
No, I know, but how was he thought of?
Yeah, very highly. I think it was one of the first prop forwards that used a little tip on. Started using the hands, the forwards that go with the forwards and put a little tip to the line. I think he was
because it was a big thing to deal with.
Yeah, because back in the day, like if you pass the ball, if you were front row, you were soft, weren't you? Especially at Bradford. When you were at Bradford, you got the ball and you run, son. That's how you were coached. Nobody, but if you're not short, run hard and don't pass the ball. I remember watching him thinking, what's he doing? He's passing the ball. He's a front rower. So I think he kind of revolutionised that role at St. Helens.
I think the person that really popularised it down under was James Graham, your mate.
Yeah.
And James Graham would have been a youngster at St. Helens at that point in time.
Yeah.
Do you think he would have had an impact on Gemma?
Probably so, yeah. I think James would have been probably, 14, 15 at the time. Same with Darren Britt as well. He was good at it as well.
Just a big log.
It shows you need more. You can put a few more strings to your bow, can't you? It's always good as a prop forward to have more skills than just carting balling.
Robert, do you remember playing against these blokes? Are you that old, or you?
No, I think they were just about. As I was just coming onto the scene, they were at St. Helens. The problem for me at the moment is you've got to find up a medium, because you are right. They would probably revolutionise the forwards game, and James Graham just took it to the next level. He's that good. He's like he is literally a scrum half in a props body. But everyone thinks they can do it now. Every prop thinks he can do it. You know, they can't.
Some of them have
fingers like twiglets. You know, their hands are massive, like off Gladiator. And they can't catch anyone.
But the problem is, I think the game's got so much better structurally defensively that if the opportunity is there, you have to be able to do it.
I think some people do it before they do their job.
Yeah. Yes.
So I remember talking about Field, because, you know, remember when Fielding first joined, he could not pass the ball, but he spent all those years down on the field doing passing drills with Jimmy and Bernard Dwyer and all those sort of players. And I remember when I went to Huddersfield and I said to everyone, look, Stu Fielding gets the ball, just get your numbers together. Go forward and bang him, because he's not going to pass the ball. He's got one job, head down, backside up. He's going to charge forward and skittle you unless you put numbers in front of him. So what happens? We play Bradford in a friendly. Stu gets the ball. He's in front of me. I fly out of the line to do what I told everyone else to do. Just nice little tip on.
Did he do it?
Made a break, yeah, and they scored under the post.
Yeah, beautiful.
And the whole forward pack looking at me, yeah, great tip. Good work. But let's talk about the real thing here. David Fairley, the only thing I remember is the size of his head. He had a massive, massive head. And there's only two other people in rugby league that I personally think that can compete with him, and that's Big Les. Les had a big head as well.
Sam Burgess has got a good sweet on him.
Yeah, he has. Massive.
He was my other choice.
Mm.
But actually, his brothers.
So Solomon from London became a boxer.
Yeah, yeah.
He had a massive head. Massive head.
Solomon Hamono.
That's it, yeah. Massive
big
head.
Big head. And
I knew it for him as well, wasn't it?
Well, he started really a fight. Scary. We once started a fight in a house outside at Scrum, and his head just appeared and looked at me, and I just saw wilted in front of his eyes. Thought, this is not my game.
You just say, then you say, I'm a halfback.
Yeah, and then I looked all the rest at Pack, and my pack was still behind me.
I'm a bit to get back up a little bit back on point. I'm a bit disappointed in.
No, I want to talk about big heads.
No, talk about big heads. I'm a bit sad really, because I was hoping that they'd give Longy a little bit more of a chance at Saints.
Yeah,
I know it's known within the game that Longy was basically doing the defensive coaching as his assistant to Kieran, but now since he's taken over from Kieran leaving, he's running the attack. And as you can see, the attack's flowing so much better. And knowledge-wise of the game, there's not much better out there than Longy. So I was hoping maybe get till end of season to prove
his
work.
How does he communicate? Because that's key to it. That's also a crucial element to it. And also culture creation.
I think given only two to 3 weeks, you're not going to find out how he communicates, are you? You're going to need at least 4 or 5 months of seeing how. I was hoping that they'd give him till end of season, basically. And if he proved it his worth, he may be given a chance, but...
The problem with assistants is everyone just assume that they're going to be the exact same as the actual head coach, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
And that is the problem. So when the head coach normally gets the chop, the assistant underneath him get the chop. I don't always think that is the case. You are what your job says. You're an assistant. You are assisting their ideas.
Mm-hmm.
You have a bit of an input, but you've got to kind of go along with what they say. I mean, next point is, why would you make the most gifted player you've ever had your defensive coach? It mind boggles me. I've had props that have been my coach, and they have an halfback. They have the halfback doing defence, and they do attack.
You know,
I just think play to your strengths.
You know what was best? What was best? When I was playing at Bradford and I had been demoted to the front row into hooker, we had Jimmy Lowe's as one of the assistants, Brian Noble, both of them played international hooker, and I had Stevie Mack teaching me how to play hooker.
Yeah, why would you do it? Why? Why?
Do you think on Sean Long, do you think it's difficult for someone, I don't know, because obviously you guys have played the game and I haven't really, like, someone as good as Sean Long, probably the best halfback or one of the best halfbacks ever to play in Super League. Do you think it's hard for him to try and impart what he's teaching on people who are as good as him,
if that makes sense?
Is it
his communication
style,
like?
I guess.
Yeah, well, I don't think you can tar everyone with the same brush. Some great players don't make good coaches.
No, you're right.
Some make exceptional coaches. I think it's down to the individual, and I think what Robbie said is, if he can communicate really well, Longer...
I don't think that's the problem. I don't think that's the problem. I think Longer is going to be a really, really, really good coach. He's really clever. He can express it in rugby league knowledge in easy terms, in layman terms. So I don't think that's the problem. I think what's happened is they've gone with the old... a legend card with Kieran,
yeah.
An old player that's a legend that's been there. We've given him a chance now. Right, let's go back to basics. Let's go to Australia and get somebody that's up and
it
coming.
It does frustrate me a little bit. As soon as your back's against the wall as a club in this country, go, let's go and get an Aussie.
Yeah, but Justin Holbrook isn't. That's not their style. That is not their style. But their style is actually purchasing someone that's actually proven. If you look at that, you know, look at the coaches that they've had in place. Nathan Brown.
Did it at Huddersfield, yeah.
Sorry. Daniel Anderson.
And it's the Anderson, international coach before. Roy Simmons. People been there, done that. Justin Holbrook is untried, untested.
Oh, he's a halfback, though, by trade. And by all accounts, from what I've heard from people in Australia, his teams play really good rugby, which I think probably because the rugby under Kieran towards the back end wasn't very good, and I think that will probably convince a lot of Saints fans he might be the right guy.
But then as well, he's inheriting Kieran's squad that they've assembled over the last 3 years. So he's got to work with that this season.
It's a good squad.
It's not a bad squad. It's all right for a Saints team. You'd expect probably a bit more flamboyant.
Look, he's
a bit
measuring
more,
it from compared to flair, my probably, Saints
probably,
team.
Probably a bit more flair, I'd say. Some people, you know, they've got Percival who's world class, who could get into most international teams. But other than that, you've got no flair, have you? You've got a little bit of Zeb Teo who can do a bit of flair, beat somebody one-on-one. I think for a Saints team, you need people like Jim Lynon who are excited to watch.
Now, on that note then, we were singing Matty Smith's praises at the beginning of the season, so he was definitely what St. Helens needed, someone to push him around the park. Is that, are you now suggesting that it's a hole?
No, I'm saying that I think that he was the right choice. I'm just saying as a whole of the squad, if you look at it from the outside in, lacks a little bit of flair other than Percival, in my opinion. So anyway, this coach is going to come in, he's going to have to basically, like Rick Stone's done at Huddersfield, he's inheriting the team, he's going to have to decide who he wants to get rid of, put his new structures in place. That can take 18 months to 2 years.
And you think about it, the cutoff date was actually Monday, wasn't it? The cutoff date for signing, so keeping the players that you've got.
Yeah, you had to declare by the 1st of May which players you were intending to keep and which players you weren't sure you were going to keep yet. So he's
so
coming
he
into
get
Bedlam,
quickly.
Isn't he? Yeah, he's going to have to get his head around the job really quick. I'd be disappointed if they didn't keep Sean Long on in some capacity. Because since he's been doing the attack,
you can see improvement. I think that'd be a PR suicide for St. Helens if they would allow someone. Look, Kieran is a legend, but so is Longy. Like we've pointed out here, probably the most...
The best
Super League halfback that this game's ever seen.
I'll tell you what, though, St. Helens, they have a lot of backroom staff, don't they? Yeah. I noticed that when I spoke to Paul Wellens once. Paul Wellens went... There's a lot of players. There's him, Jamal Lalesse, obviously Longhair. There's a lot of blokes in board on that backroom staff. Well, so if he wants to bring his own in as well, then that's even more people.
Yeah, I don't think he'll get the chance straight off the bat, but we'll see. Eh? We'll see what St. Helens do. That's up to Mike Rush and the bosses that they have, the board of directors that they have at St. Helens. All right, want to go to another break. This show is absolutely flying at the moment. When we come back, we'll continue on with all the sport's hottest topics. So stay with us.
The opinions that matter from the world of rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show. The latest news and the opinions that matter from the world of rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show. We're covering all the sport's hottest topics and breaking news from the Bulls this evening. The Bulls have entered into a dual registration agreement with Witness. Leon, give us your thoughts on that.
Help that's very, very much needed.
I'm glad you added something on the back end of that.
It's basically, I won't fire for an SOS call, weren't it? I mean, like last weekend, we got a good touch up in France, and we're just short on troops, we're short on numbers. The squad's too young, and we need help. So it's massive. It's a massive step in the right direction for the club. And
massive boost for the club.
Huge.
Quite interesting. That I think it goes down in history that the team that came together to play in Toulouse last weekend was the youngest ever Bradford Bulls first team squad ever.
I know, but we got beat by 60.
I know.
So, yeah, it's a historic in one way and probably the biggest score I've ever been beaten in my professional career. So, historic in another way as well. So, yeah, it's good. We need the help. Everybody knows it. We're far too young. With all the players that we get on, not dual reg, on loans, they've all gone back to the clubs for the Easter period. So, it's left us basically with a Bradford Academy squad. So, other than myself, Scott Moore and... What, Kevin Leroy, I think.
You guys are really bringing up balancing the numbers, aren't you?
Yeah, massively. And, you know, these kids that are probably not ready to play a first team yet.
So really keen, head coach for Witness, Dennis Betts, shared, because they don't currently run a reserves team, and the partnership with Bradford provides him with the ability to source game time for any member of the squad that they deem necessary. So for a lot of teams, dual registration means you end up getting kids that are on that cusp of development. But I've also seen it where you've had players coming back from injury, experienced players coming back from injury looking to get some game time. Is that something that you're hoping for? Because I know experience is something that Bradford needs to help develop their young talent that they have in the squad.
I think I've looked at it from a different way. I think there's two ways I've looked at getting the loanee players in. Is one, that it shows that we massively need an A team. Mm-hmm. massively need the A team back because we're going to lose players. You know, players, we're losing players to the game from not having an A team because they've got nowhere to
go. So this is a game-wide thing you're talking about, A team competition as well as Bradford.
Yeah, as well as Bradford, yeah. I'm just saying my overall view looking in from as a Bradford player at the moment. And also, it's showing me people like the big Polish kid at Leeds. They're using this competition to boost their chance of playing in Super League. Like, they're at the start of their careers. But they leave us and then going and playing in Super League and they're making a name for themselves and
they do
well.
Come in and rip in. There's a great advantage. You've got to admit, there's a great advantage for the youngsters that do come down from those teams and they get to test their mettle against it in a very, very physical
league.
Yeah.
And basically, now we're missing them boys. I mean, if we had the big Paul back, we had Murray, who debuted at Salford this weekend. They were both really good players. If we had Kevin every week, Jordan Lilly. And the players that we're missing, you know, it's 5 or 6 players that are all Super League standard. It's a lot. So to lose them for 3 games, 4 games over this biggest, fastest, toughest period of rugby, it's been pretty tough.
Do you actually call him the Big Paul as you play with him?
And he's got a really strange accent as well, and he absolutely loves Jeff Tovey, so he's funny, really, really funny.
Absolutely brilliant. Okay, good luck to the dual registration. That's all I think we can say, and hopefully you'll be able to get some.
Must send a massive shout out to all Bradford fans as well. The travelling numbers, they were awesome.
They were singing
all game, and I think, you know, going over to them, clapping, but then it was quite embarrassing for us as players because you feel like you've let them down. They've travelled all the way to France in such good numbers. Must have been 1,000 of them at least, singing all game, and even though we're getting tonked by 16. You know, it's quite embarrassing losing like that for anyone, and especially when you're taking your fans all that way over there. So a massive shout out to the Bradford fans. We appreciate your support and keep going. Thank you very much.
They were absolutely brilliant, and awesome. I think they enjoyed themselves despite the outcome of the game.
You know, it might have had something to do with the sunshine and the pub that's in. built on the stand at the side.
That's exactly right. They did enjoy that that French flavour of social entertainment. And I think, Leon, you know that all too well.
I do.
Let's talk about Robbo, across to you. Kevin Brown being called up in replacement for George Williams. That must be Kevin Brown, big mate of yours.
But you know what? Even though he's a mate, I thought it would be a bit of a strange one, really, for me.
Because just, Warrington haven't been performing?
It's not just the fact that Warrington haven't been performing. That is one of the reasons. But the other reason is he has missed a lot of games through concussion. Mm-hmm. A lot of games. And I know, speaking to him, it came out on another sort of on BBC, that he lost a little bit of his sight in his eye. And they said it's because of all the head knocks. He was losing a bit of his... He's come back.
Wow.
But basically,
how long? When was that?
Not long ago, there was something going on with his eye, basically, and he didn't know what the reason behind this. Look, because you're getting head knocks, all these signals that you're sending down your brain, it affects things. And they did a bit of a piece on me about, you know, me forgetting my kid and all the other knockouts where I forgot where I lived and all that, and a little bit of piece with Kev. So, yeah,
did they do the part about your son locking you out of the house as well?
Yeah, the little. But, you know, he's a great player, is Kev. Yep. He's a great player, but just them two things, them two factors, Warrington struggling, but also missing the vast majority of the last month and a half with the head concussion. I don't know, just a little bit of a strange one for me.
How's that gone down in the hack sphere?
Kevin Brown?
Aaron, yeah.
I can see it because he was in the squad last year, wasn't he? And he was in the culture and he's in the ETS. So he was next off the rank, if you saw thing. I'm not entirely sure.
Wayne Bennett likes that consistency?
And who's the assistant? Is it Dennis Betts still?
Betts and Ballou as well.
Yeah, Betts
and Paul Anderson. So again, it's
so
a Super
both
League
of those
player.
Players, both of those coaches, the assistant coaches, have been quite heavily exposed to Kevin's talent.
And without being disrespectful to someone I might have missed here, but who else was going to play instead of Kev Brown? You know, Widdop's gone, Williams has gone, both to injury. Ratchford was already in the squad.
With that sort of experience at their level as well.
I'm not sure there was too many more. I think there were people.
Sneed knocking on the door?
Sneed a little bit, but Gale's in there, isn't he? I think Gale gives you what Sneed gives you. People were worried he was going to go and call up another Aussie, I think, for the convenience.
Just
Blair
on that
costing.
Then, let's move quickly on that. Daryl Powell not happy with England's selection concerning heritage of players, stating, I disagree with it. Hyington is 34 and there's plenty of back. He's kind of got a point. Hyington is 34 years of age. He's, you know, coming to the back end of his career, full stop. why not bleed some of these young, talented back rowers? And this country, and we were talking about it a couple of weeks ago, this country, in this competition, there's a plethora of talented back rowers.
I am not for bleeding. International rugby is about winning now. I don't care whether he's 34. His age has nothing to do with it. The fact that last time he came over, he were rubbish.
Yeah.
He won, wasn't it? Yeah. He came over, and that's not me disrespecting.
I've got to admit, he's not been sitting there in NRL.
I don't watch enough NRL, so I don't know how good he's going over there. But I know when he played in this comp last time, it wasn't very good.
He's had the last couple of years, he's been quite consistent, but I don't think he's done anything special
this year.
The fact
is, you use the rules because they're there to be used. Even Australia, who are world champions, brought Rajraja in last year. So we've got to find a way to beat Australia and New Zealand.
Sebi Radradra is just awesome.
That's why they called it. That's why they use the rule.
But what I'm trying to say is, Hyington hasn't been lighting the competition on fire. There's been back rowers in the Super League that basically are on NRL teams' radars.
I said this part of the argument last week. Rangan Chase from fire. We brought him into the team. We all still moaned. We want English players playing for England. It's simple as that. No matter if you're Rangan Chase, Hyington, unless you're somebody maybe, unless you're Andrew Johns, that's the only chance we're going to give you. We'd rather lose and be English than win and have Aussies and Kiwis playing for us. It's as simple as that. When I played in 2007, we had Maurice Fassavalu, who was my teammate at Saints at the time. He got picked to play for Great Britain. He's not British. We don't really want you in the team, Maury, even though you're a legend. I love you. You're not British. You're Maury Fassavalu from Samoa.
Did you make me like nobody ever refused to rule with him from South Africa?
The Commonwealth. No one talked to Maury.
It's just the way we are. It's just the way we've been brought up in rugby league. Maybe not. It's different in rugby union. It's different in cricket. You know, Peters Peterson and people like that. But in rugby league, we like as players.
Why is it different?
I don't know. It's just.
But I remember we had Tony Carroll join the Kiwis. After so many years of playing against Tony Carroll,
and then he went back, didn't he?
All of a sudden, he's in the New Zealand international team for the World Cup, which was brilliant because he was so awesome. And then he went back to play for the Aussies again.
I got nicknamed after him. His nickname was Tunza, wasn't it? Because he had a big chin. So Brian Carney's called me Mini Tunza. That stuck with me for about 7 years, wasn't that nickname? But no, look, I ain't got a problem with his age or anything like that, or his eligibility. If he's got... I just think we've got loads of good back rowers over here that are better. Do you know why we're
picking? We've got one over there as well, Joe Greenwood, who's playing for Gold Coast, and he's playing well. And then there's Farrell over here. Like, I'd take each case on its merit. If the player is good enough and you think he's going to make a difference to England, fair enough. But Hyington and even McQueen, probably not.
Farrell is the killer.
If we have John Bateman and Ben Curry available, we've got Elliot Whitehead already down there. For me, them you've 3-4 standouts. Easily Brett Ferris when he's fit. He's not fit at the moment. So we've got them guys. We're more than good enough to be playing.
But what about Farrell?
Is he not being picked?
No.
No, bluff him out.
Has he not been playing that well, though?
He's been playing all right. Gelling, because Gelling put some on basically saying the exact same thing we did, but he put it out there, didn't he, Gelling? Yeah. Just saying,
Farrell's got experience. He's done it at that level. He's played alongside those players. They complement one another. It just... ludicrous.
Did Gelling actually put all Farrell's stats up or something?
Something ridiculous.
It was something like that. It made so many metres a game, doing this, doing that, then he put Hyington's up at the side of it.
We can bank on Gelling getting some fun out of him. He does do some absolutely brilliant things on social media. Okay, like I said before, this show is absolutely flying tonight. We're going to take another break. When we come back, we'll continue on with a final few hot topics, and we'll also have a look at this weekend's upcoming game. So stick with us right here on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
The opinions that matter from the world of rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
All right, welcome back to the RHP Show. For this, the final segment of this show, this is something that tickled me this afternoon. I was looking at, on the back of the Justin Holbrook story, there was one story just below it. Anthony Mundine wants to make a comeback into rugby league after 17 years out. He's in his 40s. He's older than I am.
I just, when I read that, I just looked, I thought, 40? I'm just like, what?
No, he's in his 40s. He's like 43, I think.
I was just thinking about how my body feels at the moment, and I thought about him coming back to play, and I just thought, oh my word, you are crazy.
I mean, I think he used to nickname him the special one or something.
Himself, he called himself
that. He called himself that. I mean, it's a boxing thing, because he left rugby league and went into boxing, didn't he? And he truly was an exceptional athlete. But before he hit his peak, before he was able to enjoy real international glory and silverware, he left for boxing.
And earned hundreds of millions. Mm.
Hundreds of millions.
I think he's made
more money in promoting the sport than he has in actually throwing punches himself.
He calls himself the man, doesn't he? Yeah.
That's it, the
it's
man.
The man Mundine. Mundine.
Chalk.
Anthony, the man Mundine. What do you call yourself, Leon?
Me?
Yeah.
The big dog.
Priceless. That works.
I believe that you should always be given your nickname and never nickname yourself.
Agreed.
Always.
It's like stepbrother. So you can't call yourself Nighthawk.
What are you giving
this?
Yeah.
Or stepbrother.
Superman. The Black Pearl. You're given your nickname. Yeah, it's Leon the Prince, Pricey, whatever. You call me what
the
you want
Earl
to call
of
me.
The Earl of Rugby League.
Call
that's
what you
what
want.
He
as
is.
Long as it's not offensive, call me what you want.
If you make up your own nickname,
you're
just
sad
at
yourself. And what was yours, Robbie? You've
problems.
Been given so many.
Oh,
you just said one, the chin, wasn't it? Or something
no,
like that?
Mini Tunza about my chin. I had Lord Farquhar when Trek would just come out when he jumps off his horse with fake arms and legs. I've had loads of them. A lot of them I can't actually
say. Jared Summit calls himself Superman.
No, yeah, he calls himself that.
He nicknamed himself Superman.
Yeah. I think he's got a Superman tattoo as well.
Yeah, he does. He used to wear Superman undies to play, didn't he?
Was it Stuart Fielding? No matter where I go, no matter where, how long I've been away from the guy, as soon as I'm in, he goes, "Wee man."
Little man.
Wee man, yeah, from the character of the dumbass, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't mind repeating jokes.
Repeating,
does
no.
God, short jokes around me, that's all
he's got
ever
one
says.
Joke. Hey, before we move past, the Wolfpack kick off their home game this weekend against Oxford, so Toronto versus Oxford. I see how that works in Toronto, because Toronto versus Keighley is a bit of a harder sell for them when they're trying to promote big brands to their audience. But apparently they're making a lot of effort to make the players feel at home, because they're away from home because they're all British-based players. But they've hired their own hairdressers and tattooists to keep the players happy.
What do you mean? Every
fantastic.
Week, I thought you were going to say they bought like a fish and chip van over or something like that with them. Not a tattoo.
The tattoo's not just for Christmas.
I love it.
What do you think about that one, Aaron?
Toronto just sounds ace, doesn't it?
They're only there for a week, I think, and then they come back to play two, and then they go back for two. So it's just going to be like a little break.
You can just
a weekend
picture,
away.
I think Oxford travel on Friday. Yeah. They play on Sunday. Yeah. But you can just imagine these Oxford players. They're just going to be tourists. They'll be absolutely shattered by the
Saturday,
time.
Saturday, I think they'll play Saturday.
Saturday.
So
they'll spend all Friday doing the tourist thing, going around, being on their legs. Jet lag on top of that. And you know what I think is going to be funny? As you're going to be taking photos of landmarks around Toronto, all the Toronto players are going to be stood next to them.
I'm not going to lie. I think there'll be a dip in Toronto's performances as well. But they are that good a side. It does not matter for at least 18 months.
In comparison, look, I watched them play against Salford Red Devils, and they looked impressive. Exactly. Well, everyone's beaten.
They only touched, to be fair, but they're not a bad side.
They're not a bad side. And you know what? Poor Rowley's got them operating really well. But let's get back to the tattoos. We've seen some really terrible tattoos over years. Come on, boys. Toss them up. Who's got the worst tattoos?
I'm trying to think.
Do you know what? Every Mad Monday we've ever been on,
someone's
Aaron
got one.
Murphy's got one on his bum. So he has about, I think he has about nine now on his bum.
What is it? What does he put on it?
He always gets stuff
just
like
a year.
I found it.
He calls himself.
Look at Leon, his best.
he calls himself, like you said about Mad Murph from Morley. But he always just gets stuff like the Morley postcode and things like that on the back of his bum, just stuff like that.
So just kind of randomly done all over the place.
Yeah, it was like when we went to Magaluf once when we a couple of years ago, it just feel like as well. He got one there. Mad Murphy, Magaluf, and just stuff like that.
Yeah, Eminem, the
just
triple
all M's. Over his bum, basically.
Come on, we've got to let Leon off here.
Both from Hull FC. One with Jordy Thompson. He tried to have a portrait of his daughter on his back. But whoever's done it obviously doesn't know how to do tattoo portraits. It just looks like a Teletubby. And you can't help but laugh at it when you look at it. It looks ridiculous. I know it's meant in the right intentions. Cold. And then Yemo loves the film. Is it The Warriors back in the day?
Yeah, Warriors you know, come out to play.
Well, do you know that jacket that they had?
Yeah.
He had that tattooed on his back. But whoever's done it, oh my word, it looks horrendous.
I tell you, the one that used to get me was Nathan McAvoy, and the story that Nathan used to say, so he had a dolphin jumping out of the water, you know, not the most masculine thing, but he said that when it crusted over, it looked like a cucumber and a bed of lettuce.
Why did he have that?
Wow, you know Nathan. Yeah. He was just in touch with a different side of him, wasn't
great
he?
Great bloke, though, wasn't he?
Oh, he's the best bloke on the planet. Bloke. Absolutely.
Yeah, looks great as well, doesn't he? Looks,
to be
stunning.
Honest, he was way too pretty to be a rugby player.
Well.
Way too pretty. Okay, let's look back. Oh, we have a bit of fun on this show, yeah. Let's have a look at the upcoming games this weekend. You know, we've just been talking about it off air. Huddersfield versus Cass. And with Cass, with Huddersfield's performance last week at home, that emotional roller coaster still driving at this point in time. Cass are stripped of some of their talent. What do you reckon, boys?
Huddersfield got a chance tomorrow night. Huddersfield got a real chance. Thought they played well. Played not necessarily best performance with ball in hand, but effort, spirit, everything they've sort of been lacking a little bit on occasions this year. We're all there. Cass are down on numbers. First time really this year that Cass's squad deck's
going
to be tested.
Juggle
the first
key personnel around
as well. I mean, Gale's gone with England, but Roberts is injured. Roberts has been going really well for him.
Whether
they reshuffle or they bring the kids in, I don't know. But I think Huddersfield at home have got a real chance tomorrow night.
What's it? Millington.
Yeah,
Millington played standoff for them last season, didn't he?
Yeah, standoff slash prop. Yeah, that's what he is.
The biggest standoff on the face of this planet. Come on, Robbo, let out the juice. Is Huddersfield sniffing a win here?
Yeah, I'd like it to rain, personally.
Yeah.
Slow the game down.
It's not slowly.
Encourage them to keep that expansive game.
They play a real expansive game, for one. But two, when Bruffy's on his game with his boot.
Conditions, yeah.
You know, we've won so many times at Edinburgh just through his boot and his kicking game. When he's on the money, Bruffy needs to be patient. And when he is patient with his boot and he's not chipping it over and trying to score tries, and he's actually just building pressure, it makes us a formidable outfit.
And do you not think also when Bruffy gets himself into a good zone, he then leads by example, takes the team with him, and kind of things, you can get like a run out of Bruffy for a good six, seven, eight games.
Oh, look, everyone knows it can go two ways, got it. It can go two ways. He can get himself a judiciary and be gone four games. Or it can be nice, calm and composed and actually put us on the front foot with that kicking game. But, you know, we just need to show the same heart and enthusiasm and just all, you know, all the little one percenters that we did last week, you know, and hopefully we'll get a good performance.
Okay, what would be traditionally a really exciting game just doesn't seem to have the spice at this point in time, and that's Warrington versus St. Helens on Friday night. That's the televised game, you can understand that. But actually the game on Friday that actually interests me more is the Wigan versus Salford game.
Yes.
Because you've got third place Salford playing fifth place Wigan.
Salford have got 9 out as well, and Wigan have got 14 out as the current head tolls go.
Didn't know Salford that many out.
Salford have got, and big players, Kotjak, O'Brien, Todd Carney, obviously Justin Carney after last night, but that's his own fault.
Yeah.
Test of both sides' squads, and if Salford get another result on Friday, I think people will really start to talk
Leon,
about
Leon, what do you reckon? Wigan versus Salford at Wigan, remember?
I think it's going to be a good one, yeah. I think Salford have been a breath of fresh air this year. I just think, that for me personally, Wigan's injury tally every year is always high. I think it's got a lot to do with how they train. I mean, they train very, very physical, so it's just, you know, a bit concerning.
Awesome. All right. Okay, boys, the show's been emotional tonight. Wonderful to have a very busy studio here, as always, and thank you for your time. Thank you for listening at home also. We'll post the show a little bit later on if you only caught the back end. Thank you.
This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 1. Wednesday evening from 6.